Music Video Land, and welcome to another edition, the 150th edition of This Week in Music Videos, brought to you by your super good friends at imvdb.com, the Internet Music Video Database. My name is Adam of the Internet Music Video Database, and with us as usual in Bushwick, Brooklyn, who I assume is going to give me a rap lyric du jour, is Mr. Doug Klinger. How are you, Doug?
Doing super good, Adam. That's why I don't feel these bitches. Frostbite.
Oh, I don't know. I'm drawing a blank on that one for this week. What is that from?
It's from Ice Princess by Azalea Banks, which we'll be talking about later.
Ah, see, it takes me a few times to kind of absorb the links, or absorb the lines.
Right.
And somebody who has no problem absorbing things, Mr. Adam Alexander, Fringe Music Fix. Adam, how are you?
I'm awesome, Adam. I'm feeling spongy.
Yeah. And just absorbing, soaking in the Maddie Ziegler.
Yeah, and the Pabst Blue Ribbon. Soaking that too. I'm drinking American beer because I can't hang out with you guys this weekend.
So sweet.
Did they, I didn't know they sold Pabst Blue Ribbon in Canada.
They do. I'm the only one that drinks it here, though.
By the way, from here on in, Adam Alexander is always going to be referred to as the absorbent Adam Alexander, because it's true. It's true. He's a spongy dude.
It's important to be absorbent.
Yeah.
So I was wondering if this week, before we got into the videos, you guys wanted to talk about a topic that we didn't get to yesterday, or last week, which was music video ratings.
Yeah, I think we could do that.
So yeah, this is older music video news, but still news nonetheless, and kind of interesting because it's something that we've talked about a few times before, and that is online music videos getting age ratings.
Yeah, they were saying that this was going to happen.
Yeah, this has been teased for a while.
Everyone's getting excited for it.
Right. And so this is happening across the pond in the UK first, apparently. These ratings are going to be decided by the British Board of Film Classification, which I guess is sort of like the... Who decides it in the US? It's like the... there's an acronym.
The FCC or something?
No, it's the RAA or something.
Oh, those guys, right. Yeah.
Something that decides, you know, the PG...
MPAA or...
MPAA, that's exactly it.
Yes.
So they're going ahead and classifying these videos, and they're doing it with record label participation. So they're saying all three record labels are taking part, and they're sort of kind of trying it out. And the three would be Sony, Universal, and Warner Brothers.
It's interesting that it's being singled out in music videos and not just like online content in general. It's like, no, music videos are the stuff. That's where the kids are all at.
I think that's coming, though. They'll try to do it for everything eventually.
How could you possibly control that, though?
I guess you can control this if with record label help. That makes sense.
Right. You can say, you know, there's only one Bruno Mars Uptown Funk video, and we're going to give it a certain rating. I think it's kind of a little bit of a wild goose chase to try to do that for
every
content
video.
In general.
No, it's literally impossible. You cannot do that.
Right.
You cannot do that. There's just far too much content on the... But it is interesting, though, that it's still being singled out. Like, because of how much content there is on the internet, like, what does this even control? It just stops kids potentially from seeing music videos, but they could go find lewd content literally anywhere else on the internet.
Well, yeah, it still kind of puts it in the hands of the parents whether they're going to monitor this or not. And that's impossible, too. Though my parents tried.
You could probably put, like, age restriction, you know, like, parental controls on a computer or on an account.
Sure.
Potentially.
Well, let's talk about how this is being implemented right now, because I've seen a number of articles about this, but it is being so, like, bizarrely implemented and so limitedly implemented.
So limited.
Yeah, so basically what's happening is these three record labels are giving their quote-unquote participation to do a trial of this, and the initial phase included all of 84 music videos, which is bizarrely small number of videos.
And, like, a weird number, too.
Yeah.
It's like, not 100, not like, 50. 84. No, stop there. No more. That's what we need. And yeah, like, what difference is that going to make?
Basically zero. And what happens is that, so the British Film Board, or the BBFC, is giving their classifications, which, of course, in the UK have to be different. You know, in the US, we have PG, PG-13, etc. And they have, I believe it's like a numerical classification, like a 12, 15, 18, based on like how old you should be to watch something. And what they're doing is basically passing on those grades onto other organizations, and it's up to the organizations to do with it as they see fit. And in the case of Vivo issued a statement basically saying, we don't care at all what these
it's
people
like,
are doing.
This is dumb.
Yeah, they were very, very like, what are you going to do with a thing like a Google spreadsheet that says these 85 music videos, 84, excuse me, have a classification of such and such? You know, what are they going to do with that? YouTube has, and they have a hilarious, there's an article with a hilarious screenshot of the Mark Ronson Uptown Funk featuring Bruno Mars video with like a, you know, underneath the description, there's a little tag that says partner rating, PG, which, like, if you weren't looking for it, virtually no one would see. And
yeah, it's like circle. It's like you would never see it. You would never see it. Unlike silver DVD.
But the thing is that it's funny that they chose that as an example, because that is such a benign music video.
I got a PG rating though. But like that doesn't even like where
because they're dancing in it.
But there's also, I thought it was numerical. I didn't even know that the ratings were based on letters.
I'm confused because they said here, this article that we're looking at said, where did they say that it was given PG ratings?
It's in here. It,
they're like
six
some of them...
music videos submitted to the BBFC were classified U, and 11 were classified PG. Which those are letters, but then they also list other examples, and those are receiving numbers as ratings.
Yeah. And there's also the argument that the American MPAA rating system doesn't really make any sense at all, and it's sort of lost all meaning. You know, of course, the classic system that, you know, G, PG, PG-13, and
right, there's such
R.
Such random rules. Like, if you use the word fuck in a movie more than once in a non-sexual way, it's rated R.
Mm-hmm.
But if you use it in a sexual way, automatically it's rated R. Like, the use of the word fuck matters. And that's stupid.
Right. I mean, they've kind of lost their meaning in a way. And they also have very specific connotations for how much money you're going to make. I mean, you're not going to have the number one box office, you know, of all time with an R-rated movie. It's just
right.
Technically not possible. So, you know, and I don't think a lot of people, like, they have a basic understanding in their head of what those ratings mean, but I don't think people could like, the average person, you stop them off the street, could tell you the difference between an R-rated movie and a PG-13 movie. Maybe they would kind of, like, say, well, it's obviously more adult, but can you pinpoint what that is?
Right.
And so transferring them over to music videos, I think, is really kind of trying to press an already existing system onto something that defies a lot of existing systems. So it's kind of I just don't think it works at all.
I think that, so music has adopted its own system, obviously, and it was a system that I grappled with a lot as a 13-year-old.
The explicit tag.
Yeah, the parental advisory sticker, as I called it. And it would vary. And sometimes it was an actual sticker, and as a kid, I could just peel that puppy right off. No one would know a thing. But other times, I had to be slicker. Sometimes I'd buy a CD and then immediately open it and flip the cover around.
Mm-hmm.
And I get
fool
away
your
with
parents,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, get away with it so I could get that Craig Mack CD. So it's... And I think actually that system, like either a like adult or not adult flag, at least to me, makes a little bit more sense than would trying to like be so fine tuned to where like this is for 12-year-olds, this is for 15-year-olds, and 18-year-olds is for this one. Like it should just be like one like be cautious of this or don't worry about it.
Or this music video is PG-13 versus rated R.
Right, right.
Just doesn't feel like it makes any sense whatsoever.
I wish there would have been something like this when I was growing up. I wasn't allowed to watch any music videos. If there would have been some G music videos, I might have been able to watch some.
Would you have enjoyed them?
They would have been the lamer ones, but they still would have been some music videos.
Right, you still would have got a taste.
Yeah, like some Weird Al maybe, and you know.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't know, man. Weird Al can be pretty edgy.
I feel like there's so first of all, you know, we talk about the different kind of, you know, faces of music videos, and one of them is commercial. So music videos are, you know, part commercials for songs. So right out of the gate, I mean, there's definitely less of a, let's say less than less, a very, very small incentive for companies like Vivo to stop people from watching music
videos. Yeah, right. It's like, no, kids, we don't want you to watch Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, it's like, please stay away from this commercial for this music that you are the target audience of.
Right,
like,
that we're trying to jam in your throats.
Exactly. There's, you know, and the song may be G, and the music video may be PG-13, so there's
or more, or maybe more. It could be, I don't know, 15.
Hopefully more.
There's a 15 rating. Hopefully more. Mm. Heyo, Adam. You got it. You got it in. no, but like 15. Like, wait a minute. If I were to like pull a rating out of my ass for Miley Cyrus Wrecking Ball, which would probably be the process that they would take, whoever's job it actually is. You got to think that's a 15 if that's an option, right? At least 15 plus, and like. If 12-year-olds didn't buy Miley Cyrus's album, it would have sold significantly less copies. And so and the Wrecking Ball video would have had significantly less views. So you know, I can definitely understand why somebody wouldn't want to do this. Now I do think though, so only one, according to this article, only one video was graphic enough of the 84. To earn an 18 rating, and that was Dizzy Rascal, Couple of Stacks. And actually, because this is a crazy, like, super, like, gory, violent video. Are you guys familiar with it?
This is the one that was released around Halloween? Is that the one?
I don't know when it was released. I guess I could find that out. It was released after Halloween, but in February, I think, or... no, maybe not. It could have been.
Describe
either
it.
Either way, it's like super dark. He's wearing like a yellow raincoat, and it's just like he's basically just like people are just being murdered left and right in like really horror movie graphic ways, but he's like taking part in it. And so I think maybe he's killing everybody. I just remember it being super dark. Anyway, this video could actually be a benefactor of like getting this 18 rating. Like people are saying like now people might want to go and see like what video did get this 18 rating, and it's this. Although that said, how many people are even conscious of these ratings?
That's like, the thing. Zero people. I think it's a test balloon, and I don't think this is gonna work because movies are, you know, the movies that come out of the theaters. You know, the system that the MPAA created to rate movies looked at, you know, a very limited pool of films. I mean, a theater that you drove to and, you know, had a limited number of screens was only going to be able to show a limited number of movies. So it kind of made sense to be like, okay, you're standing there at the box office, you're looking up there, this one's R, this one's PG, this one's G. If you've got two kids with you, we'll choose the G movie. Or, you know, we're not going to let in, you know, kids under a certain age into the R movie. I mean, it made sense because of the limited number of product that was available.
I think with way too many music videos.
Way too many music videos to do even something as general as like a to do something as subjective as to sit down and watch a music video and assign it a grade based on like some sort of nomenclature that has to be translated.
And then attach a justification to it.
Exactly, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not just like it would be a literally impossible task. Even if it's just for these three labels. Which, if in that case, what the fuck? Why?
Right.
Why are these three labels the only people who are like, yeah, we'll tie our hands and let everybody else kind of run free without this? It seems like such a weird thing to...
And then
try to do
with movie ratings. I mean, you controlled the distribution. So if you wanted to, enact a rule that said nobody under 18 or whatever gets into R-rated movies, then all you have to do is make sure that movie theaters across the country have got some kid making sure that the people who are going into this movie are over 18, or whoever's selling the tickets. It's like a one-stop, shop, basically. I mean, here you have a product that you do not control the distribution of. I know Vivo controls the distribution of a lot of music videos, but you've got music videos on Vimeo, on Dailymotion, on all these different things, and it's really... I mean, is there even a content gate on YouTube at this point?
I guess I don't know. Maybe if you sign up and say you're under 13, there's definitely like logged out users can't watch flagged content.
Correct. Yeah. So there is that gate, but I don't know if there's like, oh, well, you're a child, you can't see this.
Well, right. If you log in and say you're 18,
right?
Like, I guess it's the same thing of like saying like on like porn sites where it's like agree that you're 18, mm-hmm. click a button. So one interesting thing of like where this idea came from. It comes directly from a speech by David Cameron, and it's uk.gov/government/speeches/David Cameron on families. And if you the part about music videos, which is in there, mentions that Vivo is going to be on board, and obviously they're not.
No, so, Vivo is very not on board, according to this quote that they gave.
But, like, why is... I mean, like, I don't, like, that's pretty high level, right? Like the Prime Minister is, like, calling out music videos as a thing that needs to be, like parents need help guarding their kids from those? Like,
I think that makes sense, because, these are people that... artists that kids are going to latch on to, and they're going to go look at the music videos. And, I think it makes sense. I see the concern there. Definitely.
Could you really like think that could you imagine a U.S. politician just like saying that and what the response would be on either side of any politician? If like Ted Cruz just like suddenly came out and was like, we need to censor music videos, like that would be crazy, I feel like. And even if if it came from somebody else too, like Tipper Gore, who is the impetus of the parental advisory stickers, if Al Gore suddenly was like, we should censor music videos, like people would call him crazy. So, it just feels very alien to me, kind of, that the whole idea of like a politician taking a stance against graphic music videos on the internet.
Well, they're not talking about censoring them, technically. They're just talking about rating them. And if you had to ask me, like, what is, like, a good system for this, I just feel like there just needs to be some sort of content flag for music videos.
Yeah, no. I'm talking, and I guess I didn't. I read the quote, but didn't read it. But the quote in the speech is, "We're going to help parents protect their children from some of the graphic content in online music videos by working with the British Board of Film Classification, Vivo, and YouTube to pilot the age rating of these videos." So, like, the point of it is like protecting children from this content. Like, just that language to me seems like very like space cadet-y.
Yeah, I guess there is I mean, I can see the need for it, honestly. I mean, if you're a parent whose kid loves Lady Gaga and is a huge Lady Gaga fan, do you really want to see Lady Gaga being like on a hospital table telling, you know, with R. Kelly hovering over her, telling her like all the things he's gonna do to her?
I don't.
Do you really want that?
No, you don't. You certainly don't want that. But I think that there is it is just weird that the government is trying to do to help with that process. Mm-hmm. Like, that seems like a very like parent child moment there. It doesn't seem, you know, I don't feel like there needs to be like a government intervention in that scenario. And like, that's not a position I frequently take.
Yeah.
I'd be like, you know.
Yeah, because even like the MPAA is a trade association. They're not a government association. But I just don't think like the music videos, I feel like, are so much more unregulated that it is really tough to get a handle on this. There's no real trade associations to speak of in music videos, at least to my knowledge.
No, but I sure, it doesn't sound like a thing that a government would be capable of taking on either.
No, and if the parents don't care, then it doesn't matter what system they put into place, it's not going to work. Like Doug said, it's a parent-kid thing, really.
Yeah, like if a parent doesn't know enough about Lady Gaga to be like, maybe my 9-year-old shouldn't be into Lady Gaga, without like the government being like, this is an 11. Like, it's just like, it's just weird to think that, you know, that's gonna fix it. I don't think it is.
But the music videos have to be viewed as a separate entity than the music. I mean, I don't think there's any problem with a, you know, 12-year-old or whatever being into Lady Gaga. I mean, that's just pop music, and it probably a 12-year-old wouldn't be in a Lady Gaga right now. Years ago,
Miley Cyrus, yes, and to have your like kid listen to Wrecking Ball is a different situation than having your kid watching the Wrecking Ball music video. But it still feels like a thing that like you should just as a parent be conscious of, not, you know, whatever.
Well, you don't need the British Film Board or whatever looking at 85 music videos for you. You can look at those 85 music videos. I don't know why I keep saying 85. It's 84. They didn't even go for the 5.
They didn't even make it a number that would be easy to say. Like,
they're like, no. You know, it's probably some like government office somewhere, and they're like, tell an intern, like, I need a list of music videos. The intern stopped at 84 and then started reading something on Reddit. And they're like, here's a really exhaustive list of music videos, sir.
Here's every music video ever made. This is the lot of them. This many?
One of them is Uptown Funk, a video that consists almost entirely of dancing.
Snapping, a lot of snapping.
Lots of snapping. I think it got the PG because of the fill my cup, put some liquor in it line.
That's maybe.
Literally the only thing I can think of.
I love to read the justifications of why... like things, like the phrasing they use to justify giving the ratings. It's like, it was rated 12 for moderate threat.
Mm-hmm.
It's like moderate threat of, just moderate threat. Period.
And even like just the idea of what is, you know, because music videos tend to be so much more art house, I guess, is maybe a good term, than a lot of films. So you get, like, I think of a video like She-Wolf Falling to Pieces, to go back a little old school, by David Guetta, featuring Sia, directed by Hiro Murai, which, you know, is a music video about, like, some hunters and, you know, the...
chasing a wolf.
Northern person. Territories. And at the very end, the person is seen nude from the back. Would that get an R rating because there's technically nudity in there, even though it's like very tasteful sort of artistic nudity?
Just like in the MPAA, like, you know, you can get away with like a male butt in a PG-13,
yeah,
you know, comedy. The thing is that I think about are like the music videos with like a lot of stuff going on, and like maybe that was just a butt. Maybe that was just a vagina. Like, did I just see that? Like, that's scenario going on.
There's a lot of videos, any raiders in any sort of organization that doesn't watch a lot of music videos would be very concerned by. Like if you sat down somebody whose job it is to rate and grade music videos and showed them Bubble Butt, like what would their notes look like, you know?
Right. No, right. And like, just like, see the reason. It's like rated 18 for giant butt eating people. Like, giant butt lady shaking her giant butt. Like, just gets so
graphic specific. Butts.
Graphic butt dancing. Just like, yeah, no, it'd be fun.
Speaking of Sia.
Yeah, let's do that.
We should also mention there's some music videos that came out this week, and we're going to talk about them.
I guess there was some music videos.
And one of them is a new video in the Sia / Maddie Ziegler, the dancer, / Daniel Askell, the director, / Ryan Heffington, the choreographer, trilogy, I guess you could call it. I think it's a trilogy now, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
It is a trilogy.
Starting with Chandelier in 2014, then Elastic Heart, which also starred Shia LaBeouf. That was in 2015. Now we have Big Girls Don't Cry. And this video stars, of course, Maddie Ziegler in her favorite Sia wig. I hope she's got a few of those.
Never been cleaned.
She seems to be putting them to good use. And her, again, I hope she has multiple copies of her Sia nude leotard, which I just realized today when I was watching this video, it came out today, that I've never seen Maddie Ziegler wearing anything but this nude.
Have you never watched Dance Moms?
I've never watched Dance Moms.
Oh my god, I finally watched an episode. It is the most horrifying show I've ever seen. The most horrifying show. It completely changed my perspective on Maddie Ziegler, like 100%. Like, it completely changed it. Not to divert you too much.
How so?
It's just horrifying. Like, to know what, and it could be completely fake, and this isn't real at all, but to know if any of it is real, to know what the people in her life are like around her at a direct level, which is like her dance instructor and her mother, are in the show, they're just awful people. Like, the teacher is just all about, like, we gotta sex these girls up, and like, they're 9, and the mothers are, they just spend their whole life just like sewing these sexy outfits together and talking shit about each other as like this teacher just like berates these children for like hours. They're like exhausted and have homework and are crying, and she's like, no, you have to do it again, you have to be like Maddie, and just like just horrifying. I was like just so shocked. Neither of you guys have seen it?
Yeah, I've seen the show. I think it's like any reality show. There is some scripting, but there's definitely people that are like this, for sure.
And like, if those the hours that these kids are actually dancing for also seems like borderline abusive, like it is just more hours are spent like dancing than anything in these kids' lives. And so
my sister was in organized dance when she was growing up, and there were some crazy moms in that, like maybe not to Dance Moms level, but there were definitely parents that were like this, where they were like, they were crazy gross people.
It has to be fake.
There's some people like that.
Oh my god.
Some sick people.
Seriously, well, Adam, watch an episode. Go, it's on Netflix. Watch an episode.
Okay. I'll check it out. Yeah. So.
Anyway.
I've lost my train of thought.
We hadn't really started.
Well, so we're talking about this video where, you know, obviously the Chandelier video is the very famous Maddie Ziegler dancing in the, kind of an abandoned apartment. Elastic Heart is one of the Birdcage, the giant Birdcage, and then this, we're going simple, where it's just basically Maddie Ziegler doing some interpretive, not even dancing, kind of interpretive mime stuff, I guess, for the whole video. The entire background is black, and it is for the song Big Girls Cry, which I've really been interested in the kind of reaction by people to this video, and it's funny how many people mention the Fergie song "Big Girls Don't Cry."
Do people mention it?
The people mention it a lot. If you look at the YouTube comments, that's a significant portion of them is people talking about the Fergie song. But a lot of people are kind of, I think, in the same boat I am, and they're like, another. I don't know if this goes. This to me is the Godfather 3 of the trilogy. It was interesting, but I definitely didn't enjoy it as much as the last two.
I mean, interesting in the approach. I lost interest pretty rapidly, though.
How long are you gonna watch Maddie Ziegler mug for the camera is the question.
Yeah, and like, I get that this is all like what this is a part of interpretive dance, and that made me sound like such an asshole idiot. But but like, I get that this is still interpretive dance. It just has gotten less approachable to me, and just less interesting. Part of what drew me to those other videos was like Maddie's dancing ability, like her just like crazy flexibility and like a ability to like leap around and just like kind of fly around the room, and none of that happens in this video. Was it in the best music video of the year podcast, Adam, where you like mention that part of what makes Maddie Ziegler effective in these music videos is the fact that like as a 12-year-old she lacks levels of self-conscious that somebody older might have.
Yeah, I think I mentioned that, yeah.
And I think that's on display a lot in this video. Because to like lock in on someone's face, like she's really emotive and does a lot of facial expressions, which are elements of the last two videos that I liked, but it wasn't all that I liked about those videos, and that's kind of what I'm able to watch as someone who doesn't know anything about interpretive dance. That's kind of like what I feel like I'm just watching over and over again.
Yeah, for me, it felt like they got in their heads a little bit too much.
Hmm.
Like they were like the first two videos for Chandelier and Elastic Heart were very approachable. This one, even though it's done respectable numbers, I mean, it was released today. It's done 2 million today, so over respectable, very good numbers. You know, to see like Maddie Ziegler in this like outfit and this Sia wig has become famous in its own right. I think people see that and they're like, "Oh, I'll watch the other version of this." And I think they've taken it to another place that is less approachable and just overall less entertaining. There was always this dual element that brought the crowds in, where you could say, you know, this is even the Elastic Heart video was interpretive dance, but it was so entertaining and had all these other different elements to it. This one, I don't feel like there's as much for people to kind of latch on to as there was the other ones, including me, honestly. Like, I watched this one straight through, and I usually watch the videos a few times, and I kind of fast-forwarded it the next few times. I mean, there wasn't really anything for me to dig deep on. I wasn't, like, writing down, like, oh, okay, this happens, and then this is interesting. I don't know. There's just something just not there about this video to me.
It feels like it lacks a lot of the layers that the other ones do. There's, like, it feels like there's less to peel back in this video, and like you just like peel the layer away, and then you just got like the black screen. It's like, put that back. And when you skip around in this video, it's weird because you can't like it's all this. It feels all the same.
Yeah,
it feels all the same. Until I mean, a little bit happens at the end, right? Like a man's hands appear or something, and she gets lifted up.
Yeah, I mean, she's got some hands that are coming up behind her, but it's interesting because I feel like, you know, the group that made this got together and they're like, well, you know, we made two videos that a lot of people really loved and were really accessible, and like, let's go full art for this one.
Sure. I mean, they earned that.
Yeah, they've earned that. And that's fine. And maybe in another 2 years, we'll be looking back on this video and saying this blew all the other Chandelier and Elastic Heart out of the water. But I just don't.
I'm not prepared for that.
Yeah, I'm not prepared.
It could for that it could either. Be. Who knows? Like maybe we like suddenly like interpretive dance really takes off and we understand this video so much more, or we can connect to the song better. Like who knows? But like, yeah. Right now, is it Godfather 3?
No.
Adam likes this video a lot. Why don't you tell
Adam,
us?
Adam, yeah, why? Adam, who had been silent as you and I had Adam.
Yeah, I'm listening to your bits and kind of just taking it in.
And, let it wash over you.
Let it wash over me. And so my thoughts on this video, I'm definitely the odd man out on this one. I loved it for sure. I will give you guys that it is the less accessible of the three videos. I would agree with that. It's definitely a little bit artsier. I don't agree that there's nothing to peel back. I think there are some layers in this video. I think you have to consider a few things before you start breaking it apart and analyzing it. You have to really think about who Sia is as an artist and sort of the struggles that she's had in life with mental illness and being a woman and living up to the expectations that society has for women. And also who Maddie is. If you think about why she was cast to be in these videos and where she's coming from, there's some really interesting ironies in the choice of using Maddie, being that she is this little kind of showcased trophy girl who's supposed to perform for the public. So that idea of fame and living up to an expectation is like a huge thing for Maddie and kind of a thing that Sia shies away from. She definitely does not want to be in the spotlight. So if you listen to the lyrics of the song, I know the song really well. It's an awesome song. And pay attention to the movements. I think that you can really start to see the significance or the meaning of all the movements. And like Doug said, Maddie's expressions were one of my favorite things about all of the videos. So for this one to kind of take it one step further and only focus on that, I thought was really fun. Like there's no dancing. This is just about Maddie's expressions. And I think her performance is awesome. She should be an actress. Like I just think she just does like an amazing job of kind of capturing who Sia is. This video like moved me again. All three videos moved me, and they just like resonate with me like hugely. And yeah, that's kind of why I loved it.
So that could be true, but none of like needing this like additional knowledge about Sia or about Maddie Ziegler or about anything was necessary in the previous two videos. And so
I disagree. You know, I think all three videos are about Sia as a person.
It's not that they're not about them. It's that I don't know shit about Sia, but I love those two videos and I was able to connect with them in other ways.
Sure.
Without knowing about Sia or Maddie Ziegler or anything.
Which is why I would agree that this one is the less accessible of the three. I think you do need that background for this one, which I have, so.
So
fair. Cool. I think it's definitely fair.
Yeah, so anyone who knows a lot about Sia loves this video.
This might be the fan installment of the trilogy. This is for the fans, this one, maybe. Maybe.
Maybe it's for the homies. It's just the scale of the other two videos, you know, the first video that's like hundreds of millions of views, and then the second one with even Stevens in the video, like you went big and then you went bigger. Like I get the like move to peel it to simplify the third one, but it just feels to me like an oversimplification.
Sounds like you guys gotta hug it out.
I mean, whatever. I think Adam made some great points, though. Like, I do.
No, I agree. Yeah. I agree. Yeah, it's
a subjective thing, right? I mean, every video is not going to resonate with everyone. This one, like, almost makes me cry. And I did go back and watch this one, the same as I did with the other ones.
It's holy really cow. Incredible how the numbers that this team is putting up for these videos, though. I mean,
no, it's kind insane.
Of in pushing these kind of boundaries, because, like, let's be honest, if this video was made for an artist that was, you know, not known at all, it would do in the thousands, you know, maybe the tens of thousands, but most likely in the thousands, I think.
And there's something to be said for that, for all three. These are some weird ass pop videos, and a lot of people love them. That's a big thing.
It really is, and I really love that they're doing this on this platform, and saying, like, yeah, here's the new Sia single. It's by the character, you know, I would call her a character, the Maddie Ziegler Sia character that you all know and love. And we're going to challenge you a little bit, which I think is really admirable in a lot of ways. They could have very easily done another, another chandelier, another, Elastic Heart style video, and given that a shot. So I like, but I wonder if this is the last one. I don't know if you guys know or think this is the last one.
Well, from everything that I've read from different articles and Sia and stuff, I think it was intended as a trilogy. I don't know that they decided that when they made Chandelier, but at some point after the popularity of that, they decided to do three. And I think it's done. So, Doug, you can rest at ease. No more.
Well, I feel like I've seen a lot of this, like, character, and there's a lot of depth to it. And I'm not saying that, like, this Maddie Ziegler or Sia character, it wasn't one that, you know, wasn't worth exploring for three videos, but it's kind of like a Kroll Show thing, where it's like this story has come to kind of what feels like an end, and it's definitely the bolder choice. You go so big in the other two videos that it becomes a bolder choice to strip it back, and, you know, this is the direction. I just, you know, didn't like it.
So you're saying it's too much tuna.
It's far too much tuna.
It's a medically inadvisable amount of tuna. So let's move on to another video, because we got to get to some more this week. I wanted to talk about our good friend Mr. Kendrick Lamar.
Okay.
And his video for King Kunta.
Okay.
Directed by Director X, formerly known as Little X, which is important because there are a lot of music videos out there with the credit of Little X as director, and we had those as two separate people for a while.
When I remember as a kid and watching, like, MTV and BET and DMX videos would come on, and it would say directed by Little X, and, like, I was like, is that his son? Or, like, something weird. Like, I think that might have had something to do with the name change.
So, side note, there is a music video, I'm not sure if we had correctly in the database, that we talked about, or maybe on the list last week, that was directed by Lil Chris.
Yeah, we had Chris Robinson, and then it turns out it was Lil Chris, who is his son.
Yeah, exactly. We were like, oh, Lil Chris, yeah, it's Chris Robinson. And Director X, you may know from directing some pretty large pop videos from last year, such as Fancy by Iggy Azalea, Black Widow by Iggy Azalea, and that might be it.
He did a lot of hip hop videos. He, like, took the torch from Hype Williams.
Yeah, basically, he took the torch and did a lot more volume. I think, I feel like.
Oh yeah, a lot more volume. And now he did a lot of pop videos. Justin Bieber Boyfriend, and the one of his probably my favorite Director X video is Started from the Bottom.
Yeah, that's a great
by
video.
By Drake.
So this video is for, I think, probably the most popular song off of To Pimp a Butterfly, which is Kendrick Lamar's much anticipated follow-up to Good Kid, Mad City from 2012. And King Kunta is probably one of the most, I mean, this is a very bizarre album in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Very, I think, purposefully, it's very much like an album. It's tough to, like, take away a lot of singles from this album, and I think it has to be kind of viewed as a whole in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And some, like, the single version of I is very, very different from the version of I that is on the album, for instance. And I think King Kunta is one of the... I think that and All Right are the two singles that can really be easily extrapolated. So this is, you know, important because there's not a lot of big singles off this album. And this is a really, you know, highly anticipated album.
Right. Yeah, totally. This is probably like the most radio friendly, although I was kind of radio friendly ish, but it's interesting that there's a Director X video for any of these songs. Like, that was just not something I saw coming. Like, Kendrick Lamar and music videos is such a weird thing to me. I don't
struggle with music videos.
Everything else Kendrick Lamar does, from his live performances to the fact that, like, he makes full albums, like, everything seems so calculated and specific, and none of his music videos do. Everything else seems like he's willing to pass that on to somebody else.
And he needs Hiro Murai. That's what he needs.
Well,
he really does, honestly.
I mean, well, and obviously the best music video that he's on is the Never Catch Me Flying Lotus
video.
That, you know what I mean? Like, that's the best, like, on the Kendrick Lamar page, which includes his features. That's certainly my favorite video on here. So,
but the video for I, directed by Alexandra Moores and the Little Homies, is a pretty good video. I think it was close.
So I guess I'm not saying that, and I'm not making the claim that hasn't made good videos. There's not like a coherent direction, or any like kind of just like understanding of where he's coming from with the music videos. Like, yeah, I agree that the I music video, I really enjoyed it, and like the driving scene, I think, have become like pretty synonymous with like this album. It's like heavily associated with it, and like the Joker kind of look of those scenes. But I don't see the direction of them as a whole. All of his
They're not very memorable. Like, I can't describe any one other Kendrick video. I've probably seen them all, but they're quite forgettable, unfortunately.
I could probably describe them, but I won't.
well, let's describe this King Kunta.
Yeah, video. But we can talk about the King Kunta video. That makes sense.
So, Director X, and this is all basically you've seen. I feel like you've seen this video before from a different director. Basically, they're in Compton. Kendrick Lamar is from Compton, if you are not aware, and basically they're just hanging around in groups. You know, we got the cars, we got a few little unique elements here and there, but it is a very standard sort of we're in a neighborhood commercial, or sorry, music video. We're not talking about commercials here. We're in the neighborhood music video, featuring, you know, large groups, featuring, you know, cars and motorcycles and the ladies, etc. And it's funny that it is, I almost feel like To Pimp a Butterfly is such a crystal, not crystal clear, but such a very strong direction, where it is not the work of somebody who is wavering at all at what they think they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing, and they're putting all their energy toward that, and it's a very conscious direction for them to go. I almost feel like... And I mean, this is no disrespect to Director X at all, but, like, Director X was kind of hired ironically for this. Like we're going to make... Like, because if you haven't listened to Pimp a Butterfly, like, the main theme of it and the main, like, subject matter of it is race. And from a lot of different sides, you know about... growing up in Compton, about being black in America, about all these different things. And then we have this video, which is like really like a straight, like, like very straight kind of stock rappers in their neighborhood video. I mean, do you agree, Doug?
Yeah, I mean, and some of what we're seeing here is like rooted in stuff about Kendrick Lamar, and you know, I think that there was an attempt to tap into something with this video, but it doesn't read. You don't read that when watching it, and I think that it just is. It just ends up feeling like a parody, almost. Not a parody, but just like the last thing I expected to see after listening to the Pimp a Butterfly album was like a ton of cleavage and you know, low camera angles and driving around. And so I know that there's some history in some of the locations that they use for this video. Adam Alexander pointed it out to us earlier in an email, which is a fun way to chat with your friends, is email. So this video is rooted in, this is a story I'd heard, that Kendrick Lamar was on set when he was a kid of the Tupac California Love remix music video. And this video was shot in the same location that Kendrick Lamar was at when he saw that video. And the funny thing is, the reason I know that is because back when this website was called filmedinsert.com, Rinky Dink little website that it used to be.
Hmm.
Was it a Rinky Dink website?
Well, it was pretty Rinky Dink, yeah.
I was Rinky Dink, and I haven't really broken out of that. Kendrick Lamar was not very big. He hadn't put out any albums yet, and he was coming to do a show in South Florida, and I just like reached out to like a contact like that was on his website or something, and it was the worst. This is going to be like weird, like inside baseball information. The like worst communication that I've ever had with somebody trying to book an interview. But I was like, I run this music video website. I'd love to be able to interview Kendrick Lamar. And this is where we get Adam the speak on that joke that we always tell, because we watched a Kendrick Lamar interview and somebody said speak on that to him. And I talked to this guy who was his name was DJ Dave, which maybe that's a real person, who said that I could interview Kendrick after the show in the venue. And my one big question was going to be about him being on set of that Tupac video and what kind of like influences it had on him, and if he would ever try to like carry that into his music videos. And I was ready with that question, and as soon as I tried to walk in the venue, they were like, you can't bring a camera or recording equipment into this place. And I was like, but DJ Dave said, and they were like, looked at me like I'm a fucking asshole. They're like, who the fuck is DJ Dave? And I was like, Kendrick's friend. And they were like, you can't bring any of that shit in here, man. And I was like, oh, okay. And so I was like, can I at least go bring it back to my car? And he let me bring it back to my car. And I had like four friends with me who all thought they were going to like be able to just like tag along and look at Kendrick Lamar while I tried to like shake my way through these interview questions. But I never saw Kendrick, never got to do it, never got to interview him. And now he's the most famous boy in the land. And
I had told, this is a long time ago. We're talking long like time 2012. Ago. Early 2012.
Very, very, very long time ago. And I thought, like, oh my God. I thought I was, like, I was so nervous walking up to that fucking place. Like, oh my God, I'm going to ask about Tupac. I'm such an idiot. I, like, bought a new shirt and nothing. Like, didn't even let me bring the shit in. And, like, my friends were like, dude, you're still going to try to interview him, right? Like, you're still going to, like, you know. And I'm like, I don't have the ability to. I don't have anything to record it. I thought I was going to do a video interview. Mm-hmm. How stupid would that have been? Like, just like me in a new white t-shirt asking dumb questions about music videos. There's no way he would have answered about music videos after a concert. Oh well, what could have been?
DJ, didn't you interview? Didn't you email DJ Dave after that?
I tried, and he was like, and like, yeah, it
And
like
he was like,
eventually,
"Yeah, next time, bro."
yeah, something dumb, or like, yeah, I was like, hey, can we maybe do still do it over the phone or something? And he was like, maybe, and then never heard from DJ Dave again. I should try to dig those emails up and screenshot them for the show notes.
Yeah, I wonder if DJ Dave is still his manager.
Maybe, like, I remember trying to Google who he was, and like I remember like seeing DJ Dave like affiliated with like a couple of tracks or something, and that was enough for me. I was like, this is definitely his fucking dude. These guys are best pals.
I wonder if DJ Dave, like, if we look in their like liner notes for Good Kid, Mad City and To Pimp a Butterfly, he's like the main producer on all the
I
tracks.
mean, if you type in DJ Dave K, it fills out with DJ Dave Kendrick Lamar, but that doesn't mean anything.
Well, I think we have a title for our podcast. Adam,
What do you think of DJ
what
Dave?
did you think of DJ Dave? Have you ever had any interactions with DJ Dave?
I've not had any with DJ Dave. I do know some Daves, but they don't know Kendrick.
Did you make a song about it and put it on
These are the
Kids of the
Daves
Hall?
I
No.
know. These are the Daves I know.
It's funny that this is a podcast where I can say that and everyone knows what that is. This is crazy.
That's definitely, yeah, that's going in the show notes. I haven't thought about that in a while.
I know.
Since we're digging back into our memories,
Right.
and I don't mean this, I don't mean to think to say like Director X was like fooled into doing this, but it just like when I think of like Kendrick Lamar like going to Director X and being like, you are on board with all of the things I'm doing, right? You like understand at a very deep level, like what To Pimp a Butterfly is about in its complexities, what this song is about in its complexities. I don't see Director X is just doesn't make that kind of music video, you know?
Well, he doesn't make that kind of music video, right? But he could be in on, if what you're talking about is true, like he could be in on it. Like Ken, you know what I mean? Like Kendrick Lamar could just have kind of been like, I want like a traditional like rap video to make this kind of statement. Like I'm trying to make this kind of statement. This is what I want to do. Because I think Director X, although a lot of the music videos he makes are a lot of like very performance heavy, luckily a lot of them are not mansion heavy.
No.
I feel like Director X's videos, although there are some that are like in very lavish locations, he also makes some higher concept videos, and he also makes some like kind of just like hometown videos. But he's able to capture like a great energy, like because nobody else is going to be able to do like a hometown video with Drake than Director X, and he's done some great stuff that way. But I do think he's kind of capable of like, getting the idea. And so, maybe that's the case. It's just so funny to like think about the idea of like them like try like don't let Director X know what the rest of the album is about. Like that's such a funny thing to think about. I don't think it is what happened, but it's a hilarious thing to dream
We can dream,
about.
can't we?
So I think we should talk about at least one more of these videos.
Yeah, one more, and then I gotta get on a plane.
Yeah, I gotta get on a plane to come to New York City and get to the best chili of your life. Well, I don't know what that means.
Should we talk about chili?
Well, I think we gotta talk about Ice Princess, right? Because I quoted it before.
Right, yeah. Should we do that one? Yeah.
Yeah, let's do Ice Princess. Let's do it. So Azealia Banks, Ice Princess, directed by We Were Monkees. This video is pretty like crazy, right? I thought it was crazy.
Well, tell us what happens.
She's an ice princess who like rides on snakes and shit, like giant snakes, and like she's got snakes like Medusa snakes on her head, and her fucking eyes are huge, and like
Okay,
that all that
and
happens.
what happens in the video?
She's sitting on a throne. It's a very performance heavy, and then there's all these like robots. Are they robots, you think?
Yeah, they're robots. Robotish.
And they are all in like unison. They're like dancing and they're drilling into shit. And then she like flies through the air on this snake in a very like never-ending story type way.
Hmm.
And like encounters these like glowing, you know, like shapes. And what happens after that?
I don't know.
Just gets crazy, yeah, right? She kind of like just goes in him, right? She goes in him and then
I thought she shoots them.
Yeah, maybe she like fights the shapes that are coming
out. Yeah, she fights
out
the shapes. That's what it was.
She's firing things at the shapes that are coming out of the volcano.
Mm.
You know? Yeah, there's a volcano, right? We forgot to mention that.
Just like a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, it's just yeah, as you do.
And it's a weird video where I want to like it. I wish I liked it. But for some reason, visually, the set of visuals, the way that things look, doesn't work for me.
Interesting. What doesn't work about it for you?
It's almost like a thing
where...
Yeah, it's very personal. Like, almost like, I don't like that color. You know?
Right, and you don't like the style.
Yeah, I guess that would kind of nail it. I don't just like the style of it. I don't like... I don't know. An ice princess... / Medusa lady, I don't know. I wouldn't want to draw it. So
it's conceptually it doesn't work for you either.
Maybe that too.
So what I think is interesting to talk about this video, although it sounds like Adam Farrell might be ready to bail on it, is that it's just like what made Azealia Banks so like initially famous. Is the 212 music video from 2011. You guys remember this video?
Yeah, it's great.
It's basically just her and a brick wall. It's in black and white, and it's just like Harlem. And, you know, it's basically like her and a brick wall, like close-ups on her mouth and that kind of stuff. But, like, basically it's just like all performance. And this is like the complete polar opposite of that video. And it's just very interesting to me, the... just like kind of difference and like the distance as an artist that she's come. I mean, she's done big effect stuff. The Young Rapunzel video is really great, and
that's the one I would point to. I think if I was gonna do the same thing you're doing, that's a great video, and I mean, still just, shows that spectrum of production values increasing.
Yeah, I mean, it does show that, but I feel like this video is even bigger. Like that video is. Got a lot of visual effects, and it's still very different than the 212 video, but this definitely cranks it up even further. I don't know, I like it. I saw a lot of mixed reactions to it. Someone commented on our Facebook about it. They said, really? Or they said, no, they said, is this a joke? And I wrote back, nope. So we'll link to that.
I don't think it's that bad. Like, it's not, I don't think it's that bad.
Okay.
It's just...
Yeah, either of you guys... Let's take a poll of the podcast. Who thinks it's a joke?
Me.
No.
Adam Farrell thinks Ice Princess is a joke. Cool. On the record, 2-1. Well, that's cool. So there we go. Is that it then? Is that all? That was what I wanted to say about it.
I think, yeah. Well, it has snakes and it's tinted blue. I think that's all. We covered it.
We got there.
So yes, I think we did it, you guys.
Let's hope that Azealia didn't hear that because she's mean on Twitter.
Here's the question: what would Ice Princess be rated?
I think
G.
PG.
No, just a G. A general.
Well, it's got some violence.
Well, also
she didn't have violence in a G.
She doesn't hurt people, though. She just shoots colored blobs. Mm,
good point, yeah.
Does language come into play? Because I feel like she might cuss. That's why my mom calls it cuss.
Yeah, well, when you're fixing the cuss, I feel like you would get a PG, yeah.
That's true.
Depends on the cuss, though.
He cusses a lot.
I mean, are we talking about, like big city cussing?
Big city cussing. You're going to encounter some of that, Adam. We should intentionally walk in front of people slowly with our cell phones out to get big city cussed on.
Oh, boy. I can't wait. So next week we'll be back with an account of how Doug and I got big city cussed in New York City. And Adam, if you could try also to get
Town cussing.
Small town cuss, please.
It's a thing.
What is small town cussing?
It's usually racist with some swears mixed in.